It's been a lot. It's been a real great show today. You're doing great. We're having fun. But I can be better. I won't be better. A lot to get to here. Obviously, we got still reeling from the John Harbaugh news. We got names and names aplenty. Kevin Stefanski. Is he going to be the Giants head coach? So many different things to touch on with our buddy, Odyssey NFL Insider. Ross Tucker Insider Calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. And he joins us now on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. Ross, happy end of the season. Happy postseason.
Yeah, happy to talk with you guys. I know you guys are happy this week. You got Stefanski fired. Congratulations. I know that was a big goal of yours for a while.
Well, we'll see who's next, Ross. I've toppled one king.
Yeah, Ross, if only we had that kind of power. You know what I mean? The amount of changes we'd make to this team, this roster, this everything, it'd be limitless.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What other moves would you make?
Well, we'd have a better offense than what we had last year, Ross.
Yeah, I would have already fired Andrew Berry, too.
I would have had a way different offensive line. Maybe we would have had a better wide receiver than Jerry Jeudy. No, we definitely would have had a better wide receiver than Jerry Jeudy. There would have been a lot. Mm. A lot done.
All right, tell me who you would hire now as the head coach.
John Harbaugh.
Yeah, not full stop. Not
Thank
even.
You next.
Yeah, that's easy. And then if there's a fallout here where, like, he's just waiting for the Packers to lose, to fire LaFleur, something like that, and so then he goes, then we'll take LaFleur, too. That's no question there.
And we're not that picky.
That's interesting. The Harbaugh thing, that would be fascinating. I mean, I think it's so – I go on all these different radio stations around the country, and they're always like, what's the best job? You know, what's the best job? I think now the Ravens' job is the best job. You have a MVP quarterback in his prime. But for the other ones, it's such a complicated question. Like, I need to see in front of me all of the different draft choices. I think that the Browns fare very well there. I need to see the cap space. Obviously, ownership matters. I think quarterback matters a great deal. Young talent on the roster matters a great deal. So what's fascinating about that is that there are areas where I think Cleveland's probably the top, and then other areas not so much. The one thing they do offer John Harbaugh that these other openings cannot is the ability to play the Ravens and Lamar Jackson twice a year. And, you know, maybe that's intriguing to him. Maybe that's appealing to him. Maybe staying in the division – is something he's excited about. Maybe he has no interest. Only he could answer that.
I guess this is we're kind of at a weird spot because Harbaugh's out there, and that shook up a lot of people's searches, even ones that weren't open. Kevin Stefanski is, he had dinner with the Giants last night. He's interviewing today. Do you still think Kevin Stefanski is the guy that's going to end up in New York, or do you think that maybe Harbaugh takes the lead on that?
I do think that they both will get jobs immediately, which I feel like doesn't happen that often. I don't know, like off the top of my head, how often does a guy get fired and then right away gets another job? It just doesn't seem like it happens that much, but it feels like it's going to happen with both of them because there's kind of no Ben Johnson. I don't even think there's like a Vrabel this year in terms of either a guy that was out for a year or a hotshot coordinator that everybody wants. So on some level, it feels like that helps Stefanski and Harbaugh get hired, which I believe they will if that's what they want. You know, I think it's probably somewhat appealing to get paid for a year to do nothing. Sounds great to me, actually. But, you know, you got to strike while the iron is hot. The Giants gig is really fascinating one to me because – I'm not overly excited about that one. I mean, first of all, you know, I know you guys don't like Andrew Berry, but I would take Andrew Berry 10 times out of 10 over Joe Shane in New York.
I would take Shane's kid over Joe Shane.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, so that's number one. And then I am not – I think it's wrong to say I'm not a Jackson Dart guy. What I would say is I would not put my livelihood on Jackson Dart's shoulders because I think the thing on top of his shoulders the brain is not wired the way I want it to be wired. Look, as an offensive lineman, I love how aggressive he is. I love his mindset. I love the young moxie. We were all 22, 23 at one point. It was amazing. I wish I could go back tomorrow. But I just don't think he's going to last very long. I just don't think his mindset, I don't think he gets it. And that would scare me incredibly to say, okay, I'm going to go to the Giants and I'm gonna bet on Jackson Dart as my guy.
All right, Ross, I want you to shoot us straight because sometimes we live in these bubbles and we get excited about things. Like, are we being unrealistic about the chances of Harbaugh here?
It's a long pause. It was a real long pause.
Yeah, it is a long pause.
Yeah, the pause might have told us everything we needed to know.
Or maybe it's just
you don't
thinking.
Have to. You can shoot us straight. You don't have to be. No kid gloves here, Ross.
No, I don't think you are being unrealistic. I mean, what's the other opening that's so much better?
No, as of right now, it doesn't exist, in my opinion. But like again, we brought up the Packers, we brought up the Bills. I think most Browns fans understand if either of those two teams end up losing this weekend and they fire their coach, then okay, we lose out to a team with a franchise quarterback, everything set. Like it's that's perfectly fine. But like there's hope here, Ross, and I just want to know that we're not losing our minds.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. You'd have to be inside his brain, and you'd have to know how he feels about Andrew Berry. You know, the thing that's interesting about Harbaugh is I don't know what he thinks of Joe Shane or Andrew Berry or Mike Borgonzi in Tennessee, for that matter. But it does kind of feel like he has enough leverage that he could probably kibosh the GM if he wanted to.
Sure could.
So I wonder, you know, what he thinks of, you know, those guys in each of those places. Or if he already has a guy ready to roll and says, that's the place I'm going to go. So when I gave you those, you know, those things that I think you're looking for in a potential stop, I think the Browns have a pretty nice young core as a result of the most recent draft. I think the Browns, I mean, you guys would know, but obviously they got the extra first-round picks. What is their... Give me their draft pick breakdown the next couple of years.
Number 6 pick this year, and it's as low as 24, but obviously as high as 32. And so then I think it's a 37th or 38th pick. And then the rest of their picks through the 6th round with another 5th rounder in there. And then next year they have all their picks.
So
it's 10 picks total for this draft.
Yeah, you know, so the Jags being kind of awesome screwed you guys a little bit there.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Hey, you still got another first rounder. I don't know what screwed you.
Well, it would have been much better if they were like a 5-win team, I think is what Ross is getting at.
No, I got you.
Yeah, well, like when Andrew Berry made that trade, he did not think the Jags were going to be this good. And now, look, I think he would have made it anyway, but, you know, they do the calculations, and they probably based off the Vegas season win total, which is probably like 8 or 7.5 for the Jags. So they probably thought they were going to get a top 15 pick. It's like the opposite of the Jets, who made the trade with the Colts, thinking the Colts, that might be a 30th pick for Sauce Gardner. Instead, the Colts totally, you know, pooped the bed, and now the Jets get a much better pick because of what happened to the Colts after that trade. That part of it's kind of fascinating. Look, that's still good. I would say John Harbaugh would still be excited about that, because he's got a pretty good track record of getting really good players at the end of the first round. You know, look at what the Ravens have done when he was there. I would love to know what he thinks of Jimmy Haslam. Would love to know what he thinks of Andrew Berry. And I would also love to know how much he would like to stay in the AFC North and or try to stick it to the Ravens. Maybe that's appealing to him. Maybe it's the exact opposite.
Ross, it was interesting. Jimmy Haslam on Monday, after firing Kevin Stefanski, said he thought that this year the Browns could have won more than 5 games. Also, Andrew Berry came out and said it was beyond wins. It was about some of the other stuff, some of the other things that they could measure that they didn't think there was enough growth in. So I guess we'll just bring it to this. Do you think that the Browns were better than a 5-win team this year?
Yeah, I think they probably were a 6-7 win team. 6-7. I think 6-7 win.
8-9.
But I don't think they were much more than that. I mean, I remember talking with people at when the Browns played the Eagles in the preseason game and those scrimmages, those joint practices. I even had people associated with the Browns tell me that they thought if everything went well, they were a 7-win team, and they end up winning 5. We can all point to the games like the devastating ones, like the Jets or whatever, that they very easily could have won 6 or 7. But people also weren't expecting them, you know, to beat the Steelers and the Bengals, you know, these last 2 weeks and finish the way they did. I don't know. 5 wins actually seems pretty good to me with the quarterback play they got. I mean, they got bottom 2 or 3 quarterback play in the league through the course of the year. Certainly bottom 5. So, I don't know. Winning 5 games doesn't seem that bad to me.
Have you spent any time around Dan Pitcher at all? He's interviewing for the Browns job.
I have not. I do not know him very well. That is an interesting one to me.
Could
you? Did not call the plays, correct?
Correct.
He didn't call them, no. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think you have to, but I think it's like that, like, I always wonder how that happens. He's obviously held in high regard for whatever reason, but it's like, okay, we're interested in the non-play caller coordinator for an underachieving team that has an elite quarterback and the best receiver duo in the NFL. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's the greatest coach of all time, but I feel like that I would be skeptical.
Ross, Dante Moore of Oregon, Fernando Mendoza of Indiana meet up this weekend. Is this game for the right to go to the national championship and to be the number one pick in the NFL draft?
Maybe, although I would say that I think it feels like Mendoza has a pretty decent edge there. I also think, whether he ever says this publicly or not, I think that Mendoza, the way he plays, kind of reminds Brady of Brady. I think Mendoza plays the way that Brady thinks you should play. He's like a slightly nerdier, more mobile Brady, you know, when you watch him play. He's very smart, accurate, clutch. Kind of reminds me of Brady a little bit. So I think that, by the way, all of these people out there saying that Dante Moore should stay at Oregon, are they out of their minds? I mean,
I'm one of them. I don't think he's ready.
What does that mean?
That means he has less than 25 career starts.
$40 million fully guaranteed.
Is he ready to get the second contract? Is he ready to have the best crack at that? Because who cares about that first bit of money? If you fall short on getting the second contract for $50 million a year, you've got something up front, but then you lost the long-term bet there.
I just don't think you can do that. I mean, ask Drew Aller, ask Garrett Nussmeier, ask a million people. If you are going to be, he would get $53 million, okay? Let's say Oregon makes him the highest paid quarterback in college football. That's $6 million. That's wonderful. Good for him. $53 million? You cannot make that bet.
Yeah, but it's $53 million versus a chance at having a better $300 million contract down the road, right? Because the more college ball you play, once you get over the 25 career starts, the better chance you have to hit that second deal.
Yeah, but if you are great, you get to that second contract 1 year sooner, too. So that is, in essence, a $50 million bet in both ways, to Ross's point.
So what I think is, I know there's statistics out there about how many starts a guy has in college and blah, blah, blah. The idea that him starting another year in college is going to be the difference between him having success in the NFL or not, I just don't really buy that. I think it really comes down more to the guy and then the situation they go into. I know the Jets are not an ideal situation. We can have that discussion. who knows what his situation would be next year. And by the way, with some of these other quarterbacks like Arch Manning or whatever, he might not even be the number two pick next year. This isn't Brewster's Millions, okay? This isn't like, hey, let me spend $30 million so I can make $300 million. This is real life. This is not a movie, Nick. This is real life. And if there's no chance, if he was your brother or your son, that you would say to him, I think you should stay in school so you have a better chance to maybe get $50 million a year 5 years from now.
It's 100%. Yeah, it's called long-term perspective. I would 100% coach my kid to do that. If I thought that to be true, yes.
Then you're an idiot. You're an idiot. You've known it for a while, but you're $50 million. You're set for life.
By the way, you're supposed to be Mr. Ivy Leaguer, and you're shooting down analytics over there, friendo.
You start investing that money already, right away, at 20 years old.
Yeah, give me compound interest there, Mr. Moneybags. All right, buddy, we know you got another hit to get to, so we appreciate
you. I'm going to go on a show where they have smart people like Jonathan and not people like Nick. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes. Probably not true. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. It's like a real thing.
No, what he actually had a hit he had to go to is the other part of this. Yeah. People aren't going to believe that because it got a little contentious there. And everybody, that's a convenient to send him packing. No, we had it in the thing the entire time. We had to get out at 18.
The man talks like an intellectual.
He was gone for a while.
Does not understand the push and pull and why teams believe in. Like, listen, if you want to say Dante Moore was on year two starting and this is about year three, okay, that's fair. The difference between 27 career starts and 41, I can understand if you want to have that. There's a reason that 25 career starts is the line.
I would imagine you're really not happy with Ty Simpson right now.
No, or Dante Moore. Again, Ty Simpson, I think he left because I think he got forced out. I talked to a buddy, ironically, a buddy that follows Bama, and it covers Bama, and says, yeah, Ty wasn't going to be the starter next year because they don't want to lose the kid they just got last year. Their freshman going into his sophomore year. So that's a different thing. But Dante Moore could be a star in the NFL. But if you go a year early, yeah, do I think you have a 25% chance more of being a bust? 100%. Why? Because the numbers say it. Ross is numbers guy. Come on now. I've said come on now twice. Thank you. Ross appeared on the Make It Right, Call Kyle Right hotline.
I also tend to agree more with Ross than you on this one.
Well, you can be wrong, too. We'll be back to Ross in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.